What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
All right, welcome to episode 144, Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay. I am Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thank you for joining us. Did you say it was episode 144 already?
I think so.
Did you?
I believe so. You know, it's been so long since we podcast that we just forget about numbers.
I know.
So, but that's all right. We took a good break.
Yeah.
For the holidays and this cruddy winter we've been having and all that. But now we're back. You know, we've seen a lot of the movies that have been nominated for the Academy Awards. So we will be talking about that. Some big news with some of our favorite shows, including Big Little Lies. We'll touch on a megastar that is joining the cast. And then a couple other things. So, So what have you been watching this week?
I've been catching up on The Good Place, which I love.
Me too. We watched it this morning too.
It is just so funny and so different. And I love it so much. It's so good.
And again, it's like every episode, it's like, where are they going with this? And then they completely take a crazy turn.
I know.
And it's just like, and then how, I always wonder, I don't watch live TV too much anymore. But it's like, how are they going to promote the next week's show
without giving too much away?
About where they're at. Because it always seems like they end an episode going into a new location or a complete change that you're like, I wonder what that's going to look like.
Right.
And then it's like, well, I'm going to try to avoid all, you know, teaser. Well, of course, I don't have, you know.
Right, I don't.
Live TV. So.
Right, exactly.
But it's just so well done.
It's just so funny and the characters are great. So if you're not watching The Good Place, you really should be. I know we've talked about it on this podcast before, but it's just brilliant. I love it so much. So
from the characters to the plot to the writing to everything, it's just so well done.
Yes.
So, we'll watch that this week as well. And I've started watching a new Netflix show. It's an animated show, and I know you like The Simpsons and stuff like that, Bob's Burgers. It's called Big Mouth.
I have seen one episode of it, and it was really funny.
Oh my gosh.
Watched much else of it.
A little vulgar.
Wait till
episode two. Yeah. Maya Rudolph shows up.
Oh, okay.
And it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And again, because it's a Netflix show, it's not like one of the shows that starts on network TV and then goes to live streaming, and then it kind of opens up the opportunities to swear more and have really crazy adult situations.
Exactly.
But this one's right out of the gate. It sets the stage.
It's pretty funny. I need to watch the rest of it, but I enjoyed that first episode I watched. So
it stars Nick Kroll, who is the Hormone Monster, yeah. And then John Mulaney, he plays one of the two kids. Fred Armiston is in it.
There's a lot of really funny
Jordan
people.
Jordan Peele, Maya Rudolph, Jenny Slate, Andrew Reynolds from The New Normal.
He's great.
All that. It's fun. Again, I've only watched a few episodes, but I have a feeling that it'll probably be picked up for another season.
Probably.
Because a lot of people are talking about it. Drew, who works at the TV station.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, he kind of told me about it.
So yeah.
Started watching that.
I think it's definitely more a guy show.
It's
really funny, but it's
it's more in the line of South Park.
Yeah.
A little bit. Where once you get to episode two, because you've only seen one, right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a guy's show.
Okay, well, that's good.
The episode two is all about their friend.
Oh, okay.
Who one of them wants to date or whatever, and then Maya Rudolph shows up.
Oh, okay, good.
To be the
the hormone monster, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fun. Okay,
I see that.
That's cool.
It's still great. It's great to watch, just to kind of put it
on. I did watch Travelers season two.
Mm-hmm. Did you finish it?
I did finish it. It was great. I mean, the thing is, like, there was so much that I hadn't I had forgotten about because the last season was a year ago and I binged it. So like there were some characters like, who is that? And what, why? And so then I had to like go and look up, refresh myself. But I mean, it's a really cool show. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
We still have a couple episodes left of season two. I wish that some of these live streaming shows, what they would do is do like
previously
a cold,
on.
Right, previously on, just a cold open. Just works. Just like with Game of Thrones and things like that. It's like, all right, let's refresh our memory of what episode from two seasons ago they're going to reference this. And you're like, why was that in the cold open? Uh-huh. And then you watch the episode and you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, that makes
now
sense.
Now I
right.
get
yeah.
it. We're going back to a character that was in two seasons ago or whatever.
Yeah.
I will say, I think it was episode two or three of the new season of Travelers where I was like, oh, this is rough. It's just all over the place.
Right. Well, there's.
And I didn't make sense.
There's just some things that are hard to follow sometimes too with the. I forget what they call it. It's like the resistance against the direct. I don't know. There's all these.
Well, it's confusing because they're always like all these different factions that are one-upping the other and changing the game. And it's
it does. It gets a little hard to follow some of the plot, but it's still enjoyable. It's a really inventive, neat show, I think. Mm-hmm. So I do enjoy it. I enjoyed watching all of it. So
and I think it's the characters that really make it too.
Yeah.
And they have such a great mix of characters.
Yeah.
So yeah, Travelers. That's a.
Yeah.
That's
a I think if you like sci-fi shows, yeah, you'll like that one. Mm-hmm. So that's all I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going to do a rewatch of Big Little Lies?
Oh, I should. I absolutely should. I'm so excited for this. That they're doing a season two for one, which, come on, I'm so glad. There was no way they weren't just because of the sheer popularity of it. So.
I guess, but it's just one of those perfect limited series. And it's
absolutely.
Like,
I would have been fine without a second season, but that being said, I'm happy that there is a second season. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And luckily, the author of Big Little Lies, the novel, she helped write season two, give them some ideas of where they could go, go with it. And, of course, it was just announced that Meryl Streep is going to be joining the cast for season two. She will be playing Perry's mom.
That's so Alexander Skarsgård, his character's mother, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you already have these phenomenal women on this show. You have Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman and Laura Dern. And then you're adding Meryl into the mix, and it's like, it's mind-blowing.
Right.
I just can't wait to see it.
Well, and you have to kind of wonder, like, Meryl Streep can do pretty much anything.
Uh-huh.
And with a character like Perry, who is so abusive, you have to wonder if the apple doesn't fall far from the
tree.
And
I'm sure that's where we're going, because...
Or she could be the abused one.
But
it'd be more interesting if she was the abuser.
I think she's the abuser. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's more interesting too. And I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they'll kill her too.
Right.
Spoiler, sorry. if you haven't seen it.
But Alexander Skarsgård is back in
Flashbacks. You know, and he's won a few awards for it, which I'm really happy for. Because I've always liked Alexander Skarsgård, especially on True Blood.
Oh, Eric.
But he's great. And so, you know, he's great as sleazy... Perry. So I'm really glad he won some awards. And Nicole, too. Nicole's won, too. So.
Right. And it does seem that even though Meryl Streep has been up for several awards this holiday season for The Post, she's not going to win.
No. Uh-huh.
But, again, it's an honor to be nominated, blah, blah, blah. And she was really good in it.
Mm-hmm.
But... There are just some other...
There are some really other great performances in that category. It's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Academy Awards, they announced the nominees this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some... there were some surprises.
There's some surprises. Always. Yes, absolutely.
So Best Picture, and I've seen the majority of these. Call Me By Your Name, The Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And the only ones I haven't seen, The Darkest Hour, Lady Bird, The Phantom Thread.
I've seen most of these too, except for a few.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some really great movies in here, but I truly believe it's going to be Three Billboards because that movie was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I think out of all of them.
Did you see Dunkirk?
No, I haven't seen Dunkirk.
It's fascinating. Yeah. It's really, really good.
It's a Christopher Nolan war movie, which is, you know, puts it up there.
Yep.
I don't know. I think it should go to Three Billboards because it was so good. Shape of Water was really enjoyable and it was a beautiful film. I just don't know if it needs to win Best Picture. Get Out 2 was a great movie. I just don't see the Academy, I just don't see it winning Best Picture, unfortunately.
I think it should.
I think it should, absolutely. It was great. It was well done, well written, everything.
Yeah.
But it would be awesome if it won. Mm-hmm. But I think Three Billboards is going to win. That's just my opinion.
My top three in here would be Three Billboards, Dunkirk, and Get Out. But we'll see. And there's so much that can change between now and then. I think what's interesting is that Dunkirk and Get Out were earlier in 2017. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have like the Oscar bait movies that show up in the fall or around Christmas, and that's just kind of a way to get them closer to the time they announce the awards and they're fresh in people's minds. And so, so we'll see. A lot can change in the next month.
Right.
One might be hearing more about and all that. So going to lead actor, Timothy Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, no surprise there. Mm-hmm. Daniel Day-Lewis, Phantom Thread, again, no surprise there. Daniel Kaluuya, Get Out. Gary Oldman, The Darkest Hour. Denzel Washington, Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
See, I don't know that one.
Yeah, well, he was up for a Golden Globe. This is basically exactly what it was like.
Right, that's true.
Except
that's true. Daniel Day-Lewis, right? He wasn't
he was there.
Was he?
The one missing James Franco.
Oh, James. Yeah. Well.
We're not going to get into all that. Right. Because, anyway.
Well, you know my feelings about James Franco, and I frankly am not surprised is what I'm saying, so.
Anyway. I will keep my mouth shut. Lead actress, Sally Hawkins, The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand.
Back to lead actor. Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, probably Gary Oldman.
This is Daniel Day-Lewis's last performance.
Oh, whatever. No, it's not.
He says that he's retiring acting now.
Cool. He needs to.
I could see them giving it to him just because it's supposed to. But Timothy Chalamet has gotten so much buzz about his performance. It would be really great. And Daniel Kaluuya. Kaluuya. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know how to say his last name.
Get Out.
But Get Out, he would be great. Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Gary Oldman got it either.
Now, I will say, Call Me By Your Name, Timothy Chalamet was the strongest, hands down the strongest actor. And it was amazing watching him go from speaking Italian to English to, I don't know whatever, what else there was. But, I mean, incredible. Like,
I mean, there's a lot of strong categories in all of this. So, lead actress, let's talk about that. Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, Three Billboards, Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Margot Robbie, I, Tonya, Cerise, Ronan, Lady Bird, and then Meryl Streep, The Post. This is a tough category. Mm-hmm. I thought Sally Hawkins was great in The Shape of Water.
Yep.
Frances McDormand was phenomenal in Three Billboards. So was Margot Robbie in I, Tonya. So
I wish I, Tonya was getting a little bit more love.
I know, I do too.
Including Best Picture.
Right, because it was such a great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great movie. So enjoyable. But I mean, Frances McDormand, I think, is the front runner here. Right. Although I would love to see Margot Robbie or Sally Hawkins, or really any of these ladies to win, because they were all great. Mm-hmm. So.
But I think it's going to be hard for Margot Robbie because I, Tonya was not nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, and I think there's still some people are still uncomfortable with the fact of almost celebrating Tonya Harding. Do you know what I mean? So,
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, supporting actor William Dafoe, The Florida Project, which I've not seen.
I haven't seen really either, but I know. Me too.
Yeah. Willem is always so good.
I know. That's true.
Woody Harrelson, great in Three Billboards.
Yeah. Great.
Richard Jenkins, The Shape of Water.
I love Richard Jenkins so much.
Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World. And I feel like that's pure Oscar bait.
Oh, absolutely, because he replaced Kevin Spacey.
And Sam Rockwell, Three Billboards. Woody Harrelson was great in Three Billboards. He was great. Sam Rockwell was a standout.
I think, the growth of his character, too, towards the end, really, because you despise him through most of the movie, and then towards the end, you really start to come around.
Yeah.
And he was great. So, I would love to see Sam Rockwell. He did win the Golden Globe for that, so it wouldn't be surprising. But, these are all great, great actors, so another hard category. Supporting actress, Mary J. Blige in Mudbound, which I still haven't seen, which I believe is on Netflix, yes? Mm-hmm. I need to go and watch it. Mary J. Blige, she got nominated for this. Allison Janney and I, Tonya, Leslie Manville, The Phantom Thread, Laurie Metcalf, Lady Bird, and then Octavia Spencer, The Shape of Water. I mean, Allison Janney.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but great things about... And again, Lady Bird is... Yeah. One of the only ones left on my list. Octavia Spencer was great in...
Yeah, she was.
In The Shape of Water, but her... And again, she was a supporting actress. She wasn't in it as much.
Right.
And I didn't feel like the character was really that fleshed out.
I love Octavia Spencer, but it felt like a role that she typically plays in things, you know?
Allison Janney is fantastic.
Fantastic. She was so good in I, Tonya. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. I do think Allison Janney should win.
Yeah.
That'd be my
hope. Right. For director, we have Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, Jordan Peele, Get Out, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. And again, like the Golden Globes, Guillermo won, but I don't know. I don't know either. I have a feeling that Christopher Nolan is going to pull this one out with possible. Dunkirk. It's a very interesting movie, and there are a lot of... The way that he tells the story is fascinating. It's something we haven't seen before in a war movie. So I don't think we can count him out. And I also don't think we should count out Jordan Peele.
No, absolutely not. You know, I'm really happy that the Academy put him in there in the Best Director nominee. And Greta Gerwig. You know, there was a lot of controversy that she wasn't nominated in the Golden Globes. And so it's great. And she's only like the fifth woman to get nominated for a director Oscar. So, you know, I think that would be great. I hope that they do something outside of the norm in this. That's what they should do.
They should. You know, it's interesting when you think of directing, like The Shape of Water. Again, it's visually, just the story itself, how they put it together, how he did it. I mean, it's beautiful, incredible.
And I love his movies. Guillermo del Toro always really makes really great, interesting movies.
But Dunkirk, again, the way he put it together, it's unlike any war movie we've ever seen. And also Get Out, it was so surprising and really changed how you think of like a horror movie / thriller. So all great.
Yeah.
Great nominees.
Yeah, so those are the big categories. Obviously, there's lots of different ones. So it'll be interesting. March 4th is when they hand them out. So, you know, tune in and see what happens.
Yep. So, we will definitely be watching.
Yep. All right, so, sticking with the movie theme. We go to the movies a lot.
And most times we see them for free.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Screen them.
Right, because we do screenings because we review them. But every once in a while we go on the weekends. And, you know, as most people know, going to the movies can be real expensive.
Mm-hmm. Unless you go really early in the morning, which I've been doing
more lately. Right, which is a good thing to do.
Like Sunday morning. Yeah. And it's like $5.
Right.
Or some theaters have like the special, like Tuesdays, $5 for popcorn and $5 for a movie to get people there. But if you go at peak times, I mean...
Yeah, it can be really expensive.
Oh, absolutely.
So, anyway, there's this article out I got from the Hollywood Reporter talking about the average price of movie tickets are up. And according to... These are numbers released by the National Association of Theater Owners, so I don't know. But average price, in 2017 was $8.97 per movie, which is an increase of 3.69% over the year before. You guys could keep this as an average, so I don't know. It really depends on which theater you go to, which area of the country you live in and that sort of thing. So, I mean, you're going to pay like, I mean, AMC, I did some research a while back, you know, you're paying $10 on average for even just a matinee. But if you go to like Screenland Armor, which is one we like to go to, you can pay $5 on the weekends for a matinee. Mm-hmm. You know, it really just depends on the movie theater you go to, what time, and the showing. And then, of course, if it's 3D or not, or IMAX, you're going to pay more. So, anyway, just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But even though movie tickets are on the rise, viewership is down. And this past summer box office was one of the worst in 25 years, which is interesting. So, according to the Theater Owners Association.
I also think this is kind of a reason that more people are going for the movie pass.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't want movie theaters to go away. I love the experience.
I do too, and movies. I don't think they're ever going to truly go away. I would hope not, but
I don't know,
the way everything is streamed now, and who knows. Mm-hmm. But there are several, like AMC has its own movie pass. You can get the movie pass now. Cinemark does its own movie pass kind of thing. So there are ways to save if you do like going to movies a lot. You know, the movie pass thing, you pay how much a month? I don't know, but
yeah,
you can see like unlimited movies.
Okay, so there's a Variety did an article about movie pass. Mm-hmm. And basically it kind of weighed the pros and the cons. One pros, I mean, is like $50 per month, and basically mm-hmm. you get to see as many, you can see, it's saying that you can watch two movies per month to make it feel like you're getting your money's worth. Only one if you live in a major metropolitan area. So it seems like... Okay. Every day, yeah.
Yeah, you can see...
Every day of the year, you can see a movie for as much as $50 per month. So obviously, that you're saving a lot of money.
Right, yeah.
Here's one of their drawbacks, and I don't think it's much of a drawback. No 3D or IMAX.
Oh.
Like, the IMAX, okay.
Yeah.
I would... You know, right. There's some movies that I would love to see in IMAX. I don't ever want to see another 3D movie.
I don't think 3D is worth ever. It in any instance.
Right.
I don't... I mean, that's just me. I don't mm-hmm. think it adds anything to movies, so... Yeah. I mean, skip that, and you're saving yourself a lot of money.
Right.
So, yeah.
So another thing with this movie pass, you have to buy on site. So you can't really buy in advance. So like with The Force Awakens, where we bought tickets way in advance, you can't do that with movie pass. You have to buy it on site.
But I would think the movie pass doesn't apply to like first run, like opening night, big movies like that, right? Or does it?
So it does, but you have to go there. And most like the...
Right,
like
they're going to sell out.
It sells out
weeks in advance. Yeah.
So one advantage, and I really like this, is that indie films are included in this. So they're available at most theaters. There are some AMC's that they're not. Mm-hmm. It's not working at right now. But
yeah, I think AMC's been pushing back at it.
Mm-hmm.
But they have their own,
right?
Sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have that Stubbs program. It's a great program.
Right.
So it might help indies a little bit too, because people are like, oh, you know, it's a Wednesday or Thursday.
Right.
I've already seen most of the big movies.
Yeah, I feel like going to see a movie. Let's go see this one.
Some independent movies.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And another drawback, according to this article, is you can only buy single tickets. So it's not like you can buy for the whole family.
Right. So you have to buy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
So, yeah. So, I mean, there's obviously some pros and cons to it. Anyway, whatever. I just want, again, I want the movie theaters to still thrive, especially the smaller ones. I mean, like you mentioned, Screenland Armor, seriously, one of our favorite.
Right. It's a great little theater here in Kansas City.
We should talk to Adam.
We should
have him on the podcast.
We should
talk about what it does. I mean, they do more. They have a bar there. They have an event space.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they still bring in big movies, but they also bring in smaller movies
right.
that we should be supporting, mm-hmm. you know, whether mm-hmm. they're local or just an independent movie that's released across the country.
Yeah, it's a great theater. And, you know, and they do, right now they're doing their Panic Fest, which is a big horror movie film festival. Yeah. And they do that. And, you know,
and they're bringing really in some of those filmmakers right. to come and talk and which do is a, Q&A.
Which is a great idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they do a lot of different events for different movies, too. We went and saw an I, Tonya sort of meetup event before the movie, and mm-hmm. that was a lot of fun. They had a cocktail, like movie-themed cocktails and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll probably see more of that. More
I think
of the,
so.
The smaller mm-hmm. ones, and they do events.
Well, you know, and, like Alamo Draft House, which yeah. is not an AMC level, but it's certainly not a small one, you know. But they do these sing-alongs, they do these dress-ups, they do these special events for certain cult movies and that sort of thing. And I think that's a good way to keep people coming to the theater. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, so you can get that... that's for, you know, especially if it's a cult film, you can go and enjoy it with other people who do. So
yeah.
I think that's, yeah.
And I hope that in the next few years, you're going to see more. Obviously, you'll always have the mainstream movies, mm-hmm. but some of the independent movies, there are more people making film
right.
now. Mm-hmm. Shorts mm-hmm. or just feature films on the local level. And I think they need to be the ones that need to be in the theaters to see as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not going to charge as much
right.
as you would for a mainstream movie, but you know, it's still enough for people to mm-hmm. to check out and support local films
yeah.
and local filmmakers, local film actors, just local production
yeah.
crews. So I don't know, I feel like more people are making movies, and that will be kind of a way to differentiate, you know, with some mm-hmm. some theater chains. So anyway
yeah so that's just a little tidbit. They say it's, you know, I don't know. I don't buy that the average is $8.97 because I feel like there's
way more than that.
But
way more than that. Maybe they're throwing in matinee prices.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It just seems very low.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of movies again, mm-hmm. So we're now in 2018. So it's just the very beginning. And now we've got a whole year of movies to look forward to. And there are a lot coming out this year that a lot of people are looking forward to.
A ton. Besides the huge blockbusters.
Right.
we have the big Avengers.
Avengers Infinity War, which is May.
Yes.
May.
The Han Solo film.
Black Panther, which is the first one to come out.
Gosh.
That comes out in just a few weeks, February. Yeah. So that's going to be a
big one. And that's already, I think, breaking like...
Yeah. Right.
Records and stuff left and right.
Exactly. So that's going to be, I think, the big one. Because right now there's like almost nothing out that is really gaining any attention. And mm-hmm. Black Panther, I think, is going to kick off the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, strong-wise.
Yeah,
box office.
February 16th.
Right.
So Rolling Stone did an article about the 50 most anticipated movies mm-hmm. of 2018. And I'm really surprised that the final... Shades of Grey movie is not on here.
Well, I don't know if anyone's anticipating that.
But it still does well.
I know. I don't get it.
I'm still going to have to see it.
It's so bad. And the trailer looks so bad.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do need to talk about mm-hmm. the 1517 to Paris. So our friend Cindy Rogers, mm-hmm. shout out to Cindy, she's with the crew, the cast and the crew right now. And if you've not heard about this movie, directed by Clint Eastwood, it follows up on this actual is a true story,
mm-hmm.
and this film, it's starring the real heroes.
So a few years ago, if you don't know this, there was a guy who was a terrorist on a train who made some threatening remarks, and some U.S. soldiers were on that same train. It was over in Europe somewhere, and they stopped him from hurting anybody. And so they were kind of they pretty much just stopped a terror attack in its tracks. And so,
nice pun. In its
tracks. So I mean that was a big news story a few years ago when it happened. So those guys, the actual guys, are now in this movie playing themselves. So which is an interesting concept, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I think it's a good story to tell, and I think it's an interesting thing to do. I mean, Clint Eastwood's directing it; he's a great director, so. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know. I mean, I remember seeing the trailer for the first time,
mm-hmm.
And before you know, you can tell that they're not. I mean, from the get-go. I mean,
just make a documentary?
Right. Why does it have to be?
Why does it have to be a movie?
Why is them
movie?
Reenacting? Right. I don't know. And some of the dialogue is pretty cheesy. Right. Oh, we're. I just feel like there's more to life in our. And it's like, okay. Yeah, right. I think you're making.
I think it's an interesting concept, but I don't know. I mean, and how much of it is actual events, like what they said, and how much of it is, oh, we need to put this in here for dramatic effect. Right. Because it's a movie.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
This is going to sound awful, but I'm an awful person.
Aren't
all
we
I'm
all?
Thinking is, that terrorist looks real hot. Yeah. With that shirt on. I mean,
even terrible people can be hot. It's
oh
okay.
My god. I was like, I can't focus on anything but that guy with holding the rifle or the gun with the shirt off. I'm like, okay. So you could have at least uglied him up.
Right,
uglied
him up,
so,
right.
Not so hot. Anyway, I don't know. It'll probably be fine. And it's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick. It's It's a little gimmicky.
I just feel
I agree.
Like people see through that. But again, right. American Sniper was huge, and obviously it wasn't the same guy. But
no.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make a movie on a true event, cast it with real actors or do a documentary.
Yeah,
I don't understand why
do
you're
a documentary.
Why you're making these. I don't know. You're making these guys relive what happened to them on camera, and you're making them act. I don't know. I agree. Mixed feelings there. I'll reserve judgment until I see it. So
I think Clint Eastwood needs to retire. That's just me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went over Black Panther. That opens February 16th.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait for that one.
I know. I am looking forward to Annihilation.
I am too. It looks really interesting and weird.
So it stars Natalie Portman mm-hmm. and Oscar Isaac. And it looks so unique and different.
It's something about aliens, correct?
Something about, yeah, a little sci-fi, a little action horror.
Action, mm-hmm.
Natalie Portman's a biologist, and her husband went into the Shimmer. I think that's what they're calling it.
Yes,
thing.
The Shimmer,
and you should watch the trailer online. I've seen it a couple times now since we've gone to the movies mm-hmm. the last couple of weeks. But anyway, so she goes into the Shimmer to find out what happened to her husband, why he's sick, and and all that. Jennifer Jason Leigh's in it.
Oh, yeah.
God, she hasn't been in, I haven't seen her in something in a long time. But all I keep thinking about when I see her is single white female, how
yes.
crazy she is.
Yeah, so that movie looks really good. So I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah, February 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Great. One we just watched. We just watched a trailer. Mick hadn't seen it before, but Game Night, which looks great and has a slew of wonderful people. Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, Kyle Chandler, several other people I can't remember now, but it looks really funny.
Winston
from New Girl. And a lot of other familiar faces. So it's this group of friends at their friend's house, and they're doing a game night, and their friend's like, hey, I hired some people. It's going to be like a murder mystery. They're actors. They're going to come in, and you're not going to know what's real and what's not. And it turns out there were some bad things probably happening. So
And Jesse Plemons is in it.
There's a lot of familiar faces. It looks really funny. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. That comes out February 23rd. I'm looking forward to that one. So...
Me too. We need a good comedy.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
February.
Yeah, I agree. So, that's February 23rd. And then in March, there's Red Sparrow, which you've probably seen previews for this with Jennifer Lawrence, and she plays some sort of femme fatale. I don't know.
Kind of reminds me of Atomic Blonde.
Right, yeah. She's like a badass, like assassin or something. You know, I'll see. I like Jennifer Lawrence. I'm not sure how I feel about this movie, but I'll go see it probably.
Yeah,
you know.
A second.
Then the big one in March. This is going to be a big movie. It's A Wrinkle in Time. You know, mm-hmm. that has Reese Witherspoon, Mandy Kaling, and Oprah Winfrey. It's based on the book. So, that's going to be good. I don't think I ever read that book.
I don't think I ever did either.
I don't either.
It makes me want to go back and definitely read it.
Yeah, definitely. But it looks fun and whimsical and all those good things. So I don't really know what A Wrinkle in Time is about, but I know it's a beloved book and it's going to be a big movie too, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, then the remake of Tomb Raider comes out in March with Alyssa Alicia Vikander.
Vikander.
Mm-hmm. So she's playing the new Lara Croft, so I'm sure people will be excited about that.
Yeah, I never watched the original ones.
I didn't either.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
But I really like
I do too. So, but I probably won't see those movies because I don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably have to review it.
No, you're probably right. Yeah, because it is a big movie.
Mm-hmm. And then the following week, March 23rd, The Isle of Dogs comes out. And if you like any Wes Anderson,
right,
this is Wes Anderson, you know, is it claymation?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's actual claymation, but it's made to look that way. Sort of similar to The Fantastic Mr. Fox that Wes Anderson did many years ago. It's that same sort of look.
And you never saw The Fantastic.
I never did, but I want to.
So good. And this one stars Bryan Cranston.
There's a lot of people. Yeah.
Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum.
Doing a lot of voices. I mean, of all the movies, I mean, I don't see a lot of movie trailers, but I've seen this one about a million times since every movie I go and see. And it's a Wes Anderson, and it's set in Japan, and there's this Isle of Dogs, and they're helping a little boy find his lost dog, so there's that. And then into March, Ready Player One, which is supposed to be a big movie. It's based on a book?
Yes. It was based on a book. Mm-hmm. It's Steven Spielberg's next big movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars Ty Sheridan, who's really starting to kind of get some new movie roles under his belt. You might remember him from, and I'm just going to list them. He's in X-Men Apocalypse. He played Cyclops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. He's been in a couple other things, but he's just, I feel like, again, he's starting to come into his own. He was in Mud, that was with Matthew McConaughey.
I saw that.
Dark Places. A Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Oh.
I heard of it. I didn't see that one either. But anyway, so he's going to be the lead for Ready Player One. So I've heard great things about the book. I'm very interested
and
to see.
And this is sort of like a video game?
Yeah, so it's like a dystopian future.
Got it.
And it's like virtual reality, and that's how they kind of escape from.
Gotcha.
So
yeah, I think that's going to be a big movie regardless, just because it is Steven Spielberg and what it's about. So yeah, I'll go see it. Seems interesting.
So speaking of X-Men.
Right.
So we have the main X-Men storyline with the new Jean Grey, Cyclops. But now they're bringing in the new mutants, and this is kind of it's their take on the mutant universe through a horror movie.
Right.
And it looks very interesting.
Yes,
and again, this is something we haven't seen before.
No.
And one of our favorites from Game of Thrones.
Maisie Williams.
She plays
one of the mutants, and it's all about young mutants and being, studied. For their abilities and stuff, and it's sort of a horror movie. I think it's just that they're trapped in this hospital and they're being pretty much tortured and that sort of thing. But there's a horror element to it. But anyway, it looks good. I'll go see it just because it's X-Men related.
Yeah, and it seems like last year's Logan was sort of setting the stage for this horror movie,
right?
Because that Logan was extremely dark.
Yeah, extremely dark. Yeah.
So.
And then they're remaking Overboard. If you remember the movie from the 80s with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, very funny movie. They've remade it with Anna Faris playing the role of Kurt Russell. So the genders are flipped in this scenario. It looks cute. It looks funny.
And Eugenio Derbez.
Yeah, he's playing the Goldie Hawn
character.
So I love Anna Faris, so I'll go see it and see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
They're also making a Super Troopers 2.
And it comes out on April 20th.
April 20th, they're right. Yeah. You know, I've seen Super Troopers. It was really big when that came out when I was, you know, in my late teens, early 20s. So it was very popular amongst that age group and the college crowd. So, it was funny. I don't necessarily want to see the second one.
Right. There'll be a lot of fart jokes.
Right. A lot of pot jokes. Yeah, it's definitely, it has its audience.
Yep.
So.
April 20th. And then we jump to May. Summer blockbusters begin in Avengers Infinity War. I believe will probably be the big movie of the year.
I think
the
biggest movie. It's going to be the biggest movie of the year. I believe as well.
What they say, like 48, 50 some characters all in one.
I mean, this is all of Marvel's big characters. This is the moment that all of these movies have been leading up to, so I think it's going to be a big deal. And it looks great, so I'm excited.
And so that opens May 4th, and then, of course, for a couple weeks, everyone kind of stands back and gets out of the way.
Yep.
And then you have May 18th, Deadpool.
The new Deadpool, the Deadpool sequel. I'm excited for that, because that first one was a great movie and hilarious. And I think Ryan Reynolds is born to play Deadpool, so so that's going to be another big one, I think.
And of course, Josh Brolin is joining him. He is playing Cable. And I believe we have the other two mutants, Teen Warhead or something.
Yes, yes, she's
back.
Yes,
and Colossal. They are also back in this. So it'll be interesting, because in the comics and all this, like, his character, Deadpool's character, and his chemistry and relationship with Cable, like, it's like a bromance. And so it's kind of like, it's so dependent on the two of them. So I'm sure they're going to pull it off, and I love Josh Brolin.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And then also that same month, this is a big month for movies, is the new Solo Star Wars movie, the one about young Han Solo. Ron Howard's directing it.
There's a lot of drama around it.
A lot of drama.
Still haven't seen a trailer.
Right? It's going to... there's been a lot of drama about that one. And now that Ron Howard's over it, I think it's going to be great, but, you know, who knows? I don't know.
I mean, and they're doing reshoots right now. And so Ron Howard is pretty busy, because, and I know he's busy because I have Masterclass, and you have to pre-enroll in his, so he's still working on his Masterclass.
Oh, wow,
while doing all of this. But anyway, so Lawrence Kasdan, I mean, he's a screenwriter for this. I mean, he's the one that wrote Empire Strikes Back. He also helped with The Force Awakens. He clearly did not help with The Last Jedi. and then of course, Alden Ehrenreich is the one who's playing Han Solo. I loved him in Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
He was a standout. I thought, out of all of the actors, and there are amazing actors in it, he really, like, he easily was a standout. Like, you could pinpoint, oh my gosh, who is that guy? But we also know that they had to bring in an acting coach. I mean, he has some big shoes to fill.
Right. He really does.
And we haven't seen a trailer yet. No. I was reading an article just the other day. It's like, I think we're at the point where Star Wars doesn't need to even release a trailer.
You're probably right.
They just need to say, we're opening this movie.
Right.
Come in. I mean, that, Star Wars is at that level.
Yeah.
Where.
Right.
Maybe they should. That would be a great way to market a movie. You're not going to see any real footage until you walk in. Because, I mean, when I was a kid, that's...
Right.
We never really... I mean, sometimes you'd see commercial... I mean, I'm that old. they didn't really promote movies on TV. I mean, they did a little, but it was just so vague. And so, I mean, you had no idea what to expect. Yeah. And it lowers your expectations, but then it also sets them so high. But you go in not knowing anything. I kind of like that. Maybe that's the next trend.
Maybe.
That some movies...
I mean, any Star Wars film has Star that built-in fan base that they're going to go see it no matter what. So, right. I mean, you do have a point there. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Well, just speaking real quick of Star Wars, there was an article just this weekend that was talking about how Lupita Nyong'o doesn't know if she's in the next movie.
Really?
Because she was wasted.
She was, right.
Like, why even have her in it for that stupid scene?
That stupid scene. I know.
It was so dumb. Yeah, she's out gallivanting around as the resistance is, you know, like, she doesn't care.
Wasted talent on a lot.
So stupid.
That movie wasted a lot of talent.
Oh my gosh. Gwendolyn Christie. Anyway, we talked about that enough.
Right.
Anyway, so Solo, a Star Wars movie, opens May 25th, Memorial Day weekend, and hopefully we don't see a trailer before then.
I bet we will. I will. Yeah.
Okay, so the next big movie coming out after Solo is Ocean's 8.
And I am excited about this one. You know, I'm really glad they're doing something different, because if it was just another Ocean's 12 movie, I would have been like, oh, God, enough. Yeah. But the fact that they've got all these amazing women in it, and it essentially is Ocean's 12, but, I mean, Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna, Sarah Paulson, all these amazing women are in it, and it looks great. So, and I love Sandra Bullock with all my heart, so I will see anything she's in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just really, I'm looking forward to that one. That's June 8th that comes out.
So we also have, this cast is full. Dakota Fanning is in it, Olivia Munn, Matt Damon, Kate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, Sarah Paulson, Anne Hathaway, Helen Bonham Carter, Richard Armitage, Katie Holmes is in it, Jamie King is in it, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna, James Corden, Kim Kardashian's in it, Kylie Jenner's in
it. I'm sure they're playing it themselves. Kendall Jenner's in it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're playing themselves. They have to play themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because it's at that fashion, the gala or whatever.
The Met Gala.
Met Gala, yeah. And I have a feeling that we will be seeing George Clooney.
I'm sure we will. Because isn't she supposed to be George Clooney's sister, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one's fun. Yeah. So June 8th.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And then...
Another big movie in June is the new Jurassic Park trilogy, I suppose.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. This is the sequel to Jurassic World. It came out a few years ago. So, you know.
Yeah, I feel like the trailer just gave away way too much in one action scene. I hate when they do that.
I mean,
I will say the one thing I think this new trilogy or whatever they're turning into has going for it that the original Jurassic Park didn't have going for it was the continuity of characters.
Yeah.
Because after Jurassic Park was amazing.
I know.
And then they just brought back one of them.
Right.
The sequel. It's like...
Yeah. No, I know.
You got to keep it going. So at least they're bringing back Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard.
And Jeff Goldblum's in this one, I believe, playing Malcolm, right?
Doctor? Yeah, I think he's briefly. Just in there for that one
Right, yeah, scene, he's not having still. A large scene, but he's still reprising his... Anyway, I'll go see it. I enjoyed Jurassic World. I mean, it wasn't great by any means. I mean, it was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah. Another great... Big Marvel movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp. This is a sequel to Ant-Man that came out a few years ago. And this has Evangeline Lilly. Is that how you say it?
Yes, from Wasp.
As the Wasp. And
so I'm Michelle Pfeiffer is in it as well.
Oh, that's cool.
She's Janet. She's the mother.
Oh,
so fun. She was the original Wasp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, that's fun. Cool. Isn't it? Yeah.
I love Michelle Pfeiffer.
And I really, Paul Rudd, I think is, I mean, he's enjoyable in everything. And I just really liked him as Ant-Man. So that'll be a fun one. Yeah.
Yep. And then The Incredibles 2.
That's going to be huge.
Oh, no pressure.
No kidding. God,
I love The Incredibles.
Yes. And everyone did. And it was one of, I think it's one of the biggest Pixar films. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a huge one.
Yeah. And then have you seen the preview for Mamma Mia 2?
No.
Here we go again. So this is an interesting concept.
I'm not interested though.
Because Meryl Streep's character dies.
Right.
And then it's her daughter having a kid and then bringing into the fold Cher, who's her grandmother, who's weird because we didn't see her at the wedding,
but it's her grandmother, and so is Cher supposed to be Meryl Streep's mother? Oh.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Like, whose mother is...
I think she might be the... I don't know. I would think it was her father's mother.
Okay.
Because I think that would only make sense because at the time she got married, they didn't really know whose daughter.
And then time has passed.
Right, and so...
Okay.
Cher was like, you know, because I'm sorry, if Cher was Meryl Streep's mother.
It's like they're like the same age.
They're not the same. Cher looks like she's Meryl Streep's age, but she's not.
They got to be roughly. I don't know.
Okay, how old do you, let's look. How old do you think Cher?
Meryl's in her 60s, isn't she?
Meryl has to be in her 60s.
And Cher's probably 70?
Meryl Streep is... 68. Cher. Okay. 71. All right.
Okay, see.
So she's not as old.
Right. So they're roughly around the same age. You're right. Yeah, that's the only thing. I just wonder who's mother she's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's not saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Right, yeah.
Grandma. Huh. All right, well.
Yeah, anyway.
We'll have to.
We'll let you figure that out. There's also a new Mission Impossible movie coming out. There's a new Predator movie coming out. Pass. Star is Born. That's the one with Miley, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Remake with
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, so it's a remake of the movie.
And then Tom Hardy.
In a movie called Venom.
In Venom, it's a Spider-Man.
That's the Venom. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know they were making one of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Michelle Williams is in it as well. Oh,
okay.
So that comes out in October.
Oh, that's
so yeah.
Yeah, okay. Be good. Okay. And I'm here for Tom Hardy.
Me too. And then Melissa McCarthy is back. Yeah,
this one seemed interesting. I hadn't heard of it. There's not a trailer we could find, but the description sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Can you
forgive me? That's what it's called. Yeah. It's October 19th, and it is apparently director Marielle Heller follows up her coming-of-age hit The Diary of a Teenage Girl with a stranger and much more messed up than fiction story about Lee Israel, a biographer who found her books weren't quite the best-selling page-turners they once were, so she does what any author would do, begins forging letters from famous people and selling them to the highest bidder. And, of course, Melissa McCarthy plays Israel, and it's a bio-comedy.
Hmm.
That's weird. Never heard of that. But, anyway, so... I'm sure we'll see a trailer soon.
They're also making a new Halloween movie. Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be in it. And I think it's the 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it's supposed to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's October 19th, of course, just before Halloween.
Yes. And then November, we get some more big movies. X-Men Dark Phoenix. This is the sequel to... I guess it is a sequel to Apocalypse, yeah?
Yep,
Apocalypse. So this is with the younger generation of mutants that we saw in the 80s and that sort of thing, 90s. So
and James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and Jennifer Lawrence are also
all they're all going to be in it.
And so. I also like this, that Jessica Chastain is playing a mysterious alien in this new movie. So they're all back. It will be interesting to see because... Hugh Jackman is apparently out of the franchise now.
Right.
So this will be the first one, I think, officially without a Wolverine appearance.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe there's a new Wolverine that they're going to throw in at the last minute. You heard it here first, if that's the case. But I'm just making it up. Okay. Then continuing in November, we have the sequel to Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I think Grindelwald.
Well, we just had Christmas season, and the Griswolds are still on my brain. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, the best Christmas movie ever. Grindelwald. And there's been a little controversy around this because people have not been happy about...
Right, Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Yep. And actually, they're not very happy about... Jude Law being cast as... Dumbledore. So, whatever. It'll be.
Yeah,
I didn't
see the first
I
one.
Did. I didn't really care for it too much.
I have no interest.
Yeah. And then we get to end the year.
End of the year, we got Aquaman standalone film with Jason Momoa. That's going to be a big one, I think. I think a lot of people are looking forward to seeing his standalone film. So, especially after...
Let's hope it's better than the others. Right. Let's hope it's more in line with Wonder Woman.
Right. That's what I'm hoping. So, you know, their standalone films have been okay so far. Considering they've only done Wonder Woman. Right? Because the rest have been Batman vs. Superman, then Justice League.
And then they can't... still are having a hard time making The Flash and...
Right.
And all those others.
So, so that comes out December 21st, so around Christmas next year.
Mm-hmm. And we will hopefully get to chat with
Mr.
Jason
Momoa. I hope so. He's
going to
make an appearance at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City here in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So we'll do our best to try and get an interview, but he's a big name, so we'll see. And then also the new Mary Poppins comes out late at the end of the year. With Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins. So that's exciting.
Yeah,
I think just because I love her.
A sequel.
That's a sequel, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's set like in the 40s or 50s, and she just comes back and finds a new, like it's set later on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. She, but she comes back and helps a new family or something like that. Oh, I don't know. I was reading about it. Anyway, yeah. I think
it'll be good. Amazing.
Right, she's amazing. So I would love to see Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins. I think it'll be fun. So
yeah. Lots of movies to look forward to.
Not a big movie.
Not too many sequels. I mean, there are a fair share sequels. Yeah. But I felt 2017, that's all.
There were a lot of those. That's right. There were a lot. So, you know.
Yep. All right. Well, guys, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And you can always find us at A Gal and A Gay on Twitter and Facebook.
Instagram as well. We also have a website, agalandagaypodcast.com. And that's it. So reach out to us if you want to talk about anything, or we'd love to hear your comments. And if you want to go and rate us on iTunes, if you would, that'd be cool.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.